Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast. Today's bookish guest is Gita from Now Booking on Instagram. Hi, Gita.
Hi, Laura. How goes?
Good. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, like you said, my name is Gita, and I'm on Instagram as at Now Booking. I'm a lifelong book lover. It's pretty much my main hobby, which is, you know, happy for me. But, you know, I guess from the outside, it looks like, why doesn't she have any other hobbies? I'm Nigerian, and I just love, love, love romance. It's my favorite thing. By day, I work in producing soap operas about like development issues. Mostly right now I'm working on anti-terrorism soap operas, so imagine that. But by night I decompress by reading all genres of romance. So that's me basically in a nutshell.
Oh my god, that's amazing. I just said it's an amazing, you know, my main hobby is the reading, I'll be honest. Yes. I don't watch that much TV. I'm like, I just love romance. Like, you know, so I love it. And I love that, you know, by day you do that, you have a heavy job, but then by night you actually can decompress and just pick a romance novel that allows you to just decompress.
That's my favorite thing. Yeah.
That's amazing. So today we're chatting all things romance, surprise, surprise. So you're a romance reader. What made you start to read this genre? When did you start reading this genre?
Oh my God. So there's a story. So I would say my relationship with romance is kind of like enemies to lovers. Okay. And this is what happened. When I was in the second grade, I had a teacher, let's call her Miss E. Okay. And she was basically the Miss Trunchbull of teachers in second grade. I was like 7 years old. And she would, like, for the smallest thing, she would like punish us. And her punishment was like, stand up and put your hands above your head, like your two hands above your head. So if you don't know what that's like, I dare anyone who's listening, just stand up and just raise your hands completely straight, completely vertically above your head for like 5 minutes. But she would keep us there for like 20 minutes. And then she would recline in her seat and read romance novels. I'm talking about like the most inappropriate for a second grade classroom romance, like Fabio on the cover and chests out and bosoms. And I just looked at those books. And I was like, I hate those books. Whatever it is she's reading, that's what makes her so mean. So I just had a very like, I never read romance situation. And then when I was about 12, my cousin who moved to my town to go to college, and so she was living with us for a bit till she could sort out her university housing, and she brought like lots of romance with her because she was a huge romance fan. I remember she brought a book called Loving Evangeline by Linda Howard, and it's like a tech-based romance, except it's from the 90s, so tech-based, you know. But anyway, she brought that. And she also brought lots of like vintage Betty Neal, who I love dearly. She's like the queen of like vintage medical romance. And then she also had like a lot of Harlequin Temptations. And I just remember being 12 and sneaking her books and be like, oh my God, this is amazing. I completely get why my teacher didn't want to teach us anything. So that's kind of how I got into it and how I got into romance, I guess. Yeah.
I love it. I love like childhood stories where you just like, you don't think you like it, but then you like it and you're like, oh my gosh, like it's like a whole new world that opens up. So that's amazing. Yeah.
How old were you when you started reading romance?
So it was recently. So it was in 2016. So I was always a reader. I read like a high school, like, basically, since I was middle grade to high school, I read Sweet Valley High, Babysitter's Club, and all those like 90s books. And then I went to college and went to grad school. And I didn't read much. And I moved to New York, and I was reading a lot of chick lit, a lot of women's fiction. So Emily Giffen, Jennifer Weiner, and all those authors. And then I did not read a lot until 2016. I had a guest coming into a different podcast that I had at the time, and she was talking about adult reading, and she was giving us recommendation, and I was like, oh, that sounds fun. And at the end of the show, she mentions BookTube, which is YouTube videos of books. And I was like, let me give this a try. So I started reading YA fantasy because most of YouTube is YA fantasy.
Yeah,
but then I discover there was like a few videos about new adult. And I was like, that's kind of curious. You know, that's like grown up YA. So let me give this a try. And most new adult books are romance. So I was like, okay. So I went through all the recommendations. I read them all. And I was like, okay, I need more. So I started following, you know, women's like authors and just read their backlist. Like I read Elle Kennedy, Erin Wood, Serena Bowen, like R.S. Gray, like all these authors. They were like, they had some new adult, and I was like, let me just read their backlist. And that's how I ended up just falling in love with romance. And I read like I read like 360 something books in that year.
Oh my god,
that's how much I loved it. Like I was like, oh my gosh! First of all, I can consume this in a day, which is a miracle because most of the books you take some time. And I was like, not only that, they all end with happily ever after, and I was like, I knew the ending. Like for me, romance had to be something about the ending. Like, I hate open-ended endings. So I hate when they kill a character. So did not have those. So I was like, these are perfect books for me.
Completely feel you. I get what you're saying. So true, yeah.
Yeah, so I was just like, okay. So romance has been, like, the go-to genre. Like, I dibble-dabble last year, and it was not a good reading year. So this year, I made a commitment just to read romance exclusively, and then just sprinkle, you know, some thrillers and some literary fiction if I feel like it, but not feeling obligated for it.
Well, that's cool.
That's awesome. So what do you love about romance?
Oh my gosh, there's like so much to love. You've mentioned some of the things, first of all, that like the happily ever after is there. I love, like, this world is so cold and hard sometimes, honestly speaking. You just need sometimes an optimistic ending. You just want some optimism. And I love that romance is that. I love that, like, the pursuit of happiness is, like, the main goal of the book. I love that love is celebrated. I love that, like, the women are lead characters and it's not like they're just, like, throwaways like they are in many other books. I like that it's okay for them to be looking for their happiness and for their pleasure and for their interests. I think it's feminist. I think in romance, like, you could be anybody. It's okay to be whomever you are. You can be like a billionaire's sugar baby, or you can be like a genius independent rocket scientist, or you can be like a hermit librarian in the bookish world of like Nina Hill. So I think I love that you can just be anyone as a woman. And I think it's such a great, great, great genre for women because it celebrates vulnerability, but then also acknowledges that there are several paths to happiness in a relationship, and maybe somebody's path doesn't look like somebody else's, but that doesn't mean it's also not like happily ever after or happily for now or whatever it is. So I just love that it's for women, and mostly it's by women, and it just, I don't know, just makes me happy reading it.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I think for me it's a feel-good genre. Like there's some lightness around it, there's like some sort, and you know, there are some dark romance or some angsty romance out there and all those different things. But for me, what I look for, especially when I'm in moments of stress, like I have a high stressful job, and I need romance to kind of like lighten it up, you know, to decompress, like you said, to just be an act of self-care. So I love that about the genre, and I love that it's feminist. Like I, you know, there's a misconception that I had reading historical romance where I thought that was not feminist. I thought that the women are just going to be married and all these different things. And then I started reading and I was like, oh no, this is feminist stuff. This is fighting patriarchy, you know? So it's amazing. I love this genre and how diverse it is.
Me too.
Yeah. So what are some of the biggest misconceptions about the genre?
Oh my gosh, I hate that people think that like it's all fluffy and sex and mommy porn or single desperate ladies just finding their fantasies in that. I hate that misconception about how people perceive people who read romance. I hate that. I hate when people say things like, oh, it gives women unrealistic expectations. And I'm like, unrealistic expectations to be happy in a relationship, to be in a healthy relationship, to be respected. Like, I don't get what's unrealistic. I'm so confused. I hate people think sometimes like, oh, it's just all low quality writing and, you know, predictable. And I'm like, you know what? Like, when Tom Clancy is writing these men books, nobody ever says, oh, like, the action hero is going to survive in the end, don't worry. Nobody ever says, oh, that's predictable. You know, I just feel like it's very easy to shoot it down because it's a mostly women-led, for women genre. So it's very easy for it to be looked down on and dismissed. And I just hate that people do that when there's so much content that is empowering and so good and so well-written and making so many people happy and so selling so well. And it just annoys me, it irks me when people look down on it.
Yeah, I think there's so much shaming around it. It's like, oh my gosh, like I mentioned to other people, I'm like, what do you read? I'm like, are we Romans? And they're like, oh, okay. You know? Yeah. And I'm like, I have no shame. Like, I absolutely love Romans. I'm a champion for it. And like, I, you know, it doesn't, it's good quality writing. Like, it's good. Like, it's an exhortation. Like, yes, you know the ending, but there's the journey that takes place. Yeah. That's what I wanted to go for. And I love the comparison with men books. Like, you know, they're predictable too. And people consume them. So there's nothing wrong with it. Like, we read for pleasure or we read for escapism. We read for our whatever reason we read for, but we just do it. So. Yeah.
And I like that I've learned a lot from like romantic heroines. Like I do sometimes see myself, like things I'm like, oh my God, what are you doing? And then I think about it, I'm like, oh my God, I do that all the time. You know what? I might sabotage myself, maybe in relationships or in interacting with people. I don't speak up for myself or things like that. And I see heroines do it, or I see heroines who do speak up for themselves or who are able to articulate what they want in a relationship or in a situation. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I think there is a lot of positive things that are in it and a lot of things that maybe people do take away and people do feel like, oh, I'm not completely abnormal, especially as I think women sometimes, and how it can be a little bit hard to find a space to be vulnerable. But when you see other people being vulnerable, other people having the same concerns you do, then it makes it less weird and it's more something you can talk about, if that makes sense. I'm kind of going on a tangent, but
yeah, it does make sense. It makes perfect sense. Oh man, amazing. I have to say, gotta love talking to another romance lover. All right, so now let's talk about romance tropes. What are some of your favorite tropes?
Oh my gosh. I have like my top trope is so controversial because even many romance fans don't like it.
I love it.
Secret baby.
Me too.
Love secret baby. Oh my gosh.
So good.
I know people don't like it. Yeah, so good. I love secret baby. I love like friends to lovers. I like Beauty and the Beast. I like Scarred Hero. I also like sports romance. That's not really a trope. That's more a subgenre, but I like sports romance and romantic suspense. Yeah, I think those are like my top ones.
So do you have secret baby recommendations?
Oh my gosh, of course. I last year, Mariana Zapata, who's like one of my favorites, she came out with The Best Thing. And I think that's like Secret Baby that even people who are like a little bit skeezed out by Secret Baby typically would like. Anubis by Chris Michaels is kind of romantic suspense, but it's also, again, Secret Baby that kind of there's an excuse for the Secret Baby trope being there. The Billionaire's Legacy by Rhys Ryan is Harlequin. It's really good, and it's a secret baby I like. Actually, most of Harlequin Presents, isn't that secret baby? Isn't always the I don't know, Spanish Count's secret love child?
Oh my god!
I don't know, Greek heirs. pregnant mistress's secret or something. I love those books. I consume them mostly because I'm after the secret baby of it all. So is like my favorite. Yeah. What about you? What's your secret baby?
I would say Alive for Alive by Helena Hunting. That was set in Alaska, which I have to say, it's like one of my career like subsettings. And then half of the book, then there's like they lose each other and then their secret baby. So I would say that one is really good. And if you like sports romance, like I love hockey romance. That's like my go-to. That it has hockey romance. So, and then sports romance too, I believe Fumble by Alexa Martin. That has a baby and it's like, it's a grown-up baby. Yes. So that was actually really good. Out of the three books that I read for her, that was my favorite one. So the baby is a little older, so it's not a baby, but it's, there's, you know, there's it's a second chance romance. So those are my secret baby unexpected pregnancies. How about friends and lovers? Do you have any recommendations?
Romance. Oh, cool. Friends to Lovers. I really like Penny Reed's series, Knitting in the City. The second book in that series, Friends Without Benefits, I think it's called, by Penny Reed. That's really good. I love Josh and Hazel's Guide to Not Dating by Christina Lauren. That's also really nice. Friends to Lovers romance. Painted Faces by L.H. Causeway is really, really cool and really, really different because the hero is kind of in an alternative lifestyle. So that is really, really also really fun and nice. And then Determining Possession by Christina C. Jones is sports romance and friends to lovers. And it's actually about two sportscasters who work together like on an, I guess, ESPN sports night, whatever that show is called, type show. So that's also really nice.
That's really good. That's really cool. So I think for recommendations, I had The Play by Elle Kennedy, another hooky romance. It is actually my least favorite out of the series, but it's a really good. I actually like Elle Kennedy a lot. So
I haven't read her. Yeah, I need to promise.
So if you haven't read Elle Kennedy, I would say The Deal is also Friends to Lovers. It's fake dating. So if you like that one too, that trope. The Deal is my favorite one out of the series. It's hockey romance that's set in a college. So that was actually really good. And then I had another book and I forgot. Oh, The Guy on the Left or The Guy on the Right by Kate Stewart. It's one of those two. So the first book in the series is The Friends to Lovers. Like, build in the relationship. They're like, they kind of like, they hang out together. And then they just literally realize, like, ooh, I like you. They're like, I like you back.
It's cute.
It's cute. Yeah. And that's on Kindle Unlimited. So if you're within the program, that's a free book. So, how about Romantic Suspense? Do you have any recommendations?
Oh, my gosh. The most recent series I've been obsessed with is Chris Michaels has a series called Kings of Guardian. And I read it, like, in all of October. I think that's all I read. And there are like so many, like dozens of books, and they're so, 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 so good. The first three books in that series, I think, are on Kindle Unlimited. So, I mean, you can like try it out and see if you like it. So if you have KU. Also, if you like romantic suspense, Christine Feehan, almost everything by her is romantic suspense. I mean, yes, she does a lot of paranormal and fantasy type things, but then all her books are pretty suspenseful. Also, Rebecca Zanetti does romantic suspense, so her as well. Julie Garwood has some that are romantic suspense as well. So, yeah. Those would be my top recommendations.
Yeah, I think I haven't read much of this genre. The only one that I read, and I read extensively, like 30 books in the genre, will be Lexi Blake's Master of Mercenaries. So it's a bodyguard romance where there's spies, there's CIA, there's FBI, they'll read, and then there's BDSM. That takes place. So if you like
Wow.
And
that sounds good.
it's actually like it feels authentic BDSM. It's not like 50 Shades where it's like a weird power funk that happens, you know. This one feels like, you know, like the author did some research, and I've interviewed the author, and she actually, I think she practices or she is involved in the community, so she honors it. So it's really good.
I love that.
Yeah, so there's like 30 books in a series, so if you like it, you get a world around it, and there's plenty of books within it.
Oh my god, I love a long running series. I'm like a series person.
Me too.
So, like, just immerse me, the whole family, friends, everybody in their town, just take
me
with them. I just love it.
Me too. I'm all about the series. I'm all about like binging and like knowing everyone in the series. Like having series of 20 books is like a whirlwind for me. It's like I can just invest my month in this. So
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
That's awesome. So let's talk about your least favorite trope. What would be that?
My least favorite, absolute number one that I just cannot is love triangle. I just can literally not with love triangle. I also don't really like bully books. Like when the heroine was like really, really traumatically bullied by somebody, and then now she's had like a glow up and she's now older and she shows up, and because she now looks a certain way, the person's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And she's like, oh, well, now look at me now. And then now ends up with the bully. I don't like that. I'm kind of a little bit over royalty romance, like prince, princess, king, queen. But I like dukes and earls, so that's cool. Give me a duke and an earl, that's fine. Don't give me somebody who's actually in power, man. I usually don't really like love at first sight that is like ridiculous, like I saw you and we're madly in love. But Simone Stark has a book I read recently that changed my mind. It's Written on His Skin. So good, that book. And it's like right at first sight, because like they exchange the letter, and from like the first word of the letter they're in love, but she does it in a way that is, it's not, it makes sense, and it's lovely, and it's like my and sometimes cynical self was like, oh my god, this is the sweetest thing I've ever read. And it's not that long. It's a really good book to check out. Those are my least favorite tropes. And I say this as if I'm not going to still read them. Like, is there really a trope I don't read now? So.
Yeah, well, I don't read bullet romance. Like, I read quite a few, and then I realized I was like, I do not like this. Like, I do not like LJ Chen and Penelope the Jocklist. Like, I read quite a few other books, and I was like, I do not like that. Like, why would I make myself read this? This is like, it's too angsty. I don't get it. Like, you're just your bully, and then you want to fall in love. Like, he redeems himself. It's like, it doesn't feel authentic. It doesn't feel right. So, like, you're once a bully, you're probably always a bully. Like, you know, so that doesn't feel right. I do have a recommendation for an Earl book. So it's called This Earl of Mine by Kate Bateman. And it's a historical romance, and it's the first historical romance I read. So, and I've been reading historical romance ever since. So that was actually, I read it in August, and then I was like, oh, this is amazing. So the story is that the heroine goes to prison looking for a man who's going to be hanged, so she can get married and she can become a widow because she has a company and she has a business. And so there were no men who were going to be killed the next day, so she had to settle for the next best thing. So she settles with this prisoner, who it turns out that he agrees to marry her and everything. And then it turns out that he's a spy. And so he's not in prison for it. So a few days later, they're in a party. And then lo and behold, her husband shows up. And she's like, what is going on? And it's really good. There's action packed. So if you like the romantic suspense, there's a whole plot line about spies and, you know, and how she helped him and all those different things.
Oh my gosh, so, that sounds so good.
So it's really good. And it's action packed. And so, and I interviewed the author, and she promised me that the next book is even better than this book. I have to say, this was a 5-star read. And I was like, I don't know what's going to be like a 6-star read. I don't know. but it has like the romantic suspense, and along with the historical setting, and along with like just kind of like, the whole process of it. So,
oh my gosh, as you're speaking, I'm like on Goodreads already, like just TBR, like going to Amazon.
That's awesome. I love it. This is perfect. I love being a book pusher. I love reading books. I'm like, you gotta read this. You gotta read this. So I did not like historical romance, and how I ended up landing this book is because I emailed a few publicists when I was doing this podcast, and I was like, do you have any authors with upcoming books who might want to be a guest? And one of the publicists was like, I have this book. And I was like, okay. Oh. You know, I was like, I don't read historical romance, but I think I'm going to give it a try. And it was like pleasantly surprised. I was like, what have I been doing? Like, I actually need to dive into this series and to this whole world. So I'm eagerly awaiting for book two and book three. So, because it's a series that follows the friends. So, God bless.
I love that.
Yeah. So, you love diverse romance. What have been some of your favorite books this year?
Oh my gosh. I read so many really good books, especially towards the end of last year. So, I really, really liked Pride, Prejudice, and Other Flavors by Sonali Dev. That was probably my favorite book of 2019 in any genre. It's so good. I really liked all of Alexandria House's books. She writes urban fiction, and I basically like just consumed her entire a backlist of like 16 books, like 4 or 5 different series in like a month. Also, I read some really good Muslim romance last year that I think was really good. Love from A to Z by S.K. Ali. That was on Goodreads, like short list of top YA romances. I think that was really, 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 really nice. It has shades of, what's the book now? Why am I going into this when I'm not going to remember the name of the book? The book where, anyway, one of the kids in the book he's chronically sick. And he meets this girl, and they're both Muslim, and they're just trying to have a halal, like kosher halal relationship. And it's really, really good. It's really, really well done. And also, Aisha At Last by Uzma Jalaluddin, beyond amazing. So good. I'm like making everyone I know read it. My mom now has it. My brother now has it. I'm like, you have to read Aisha At Last. So that book. Christina C. Jones was also a favorite. And then for my country, Amaka Azie writes good Nigerian romance. If anybody's looking to know what like Nigeria, contemporary Nigeria is like, and to read a Nigerian romance author, Amaka Azie is the person you want to check out.
Okay, I'm definitely going to check her out for sure.
What about you?
So I would say I've been reading a lot of Latina romance because I'm from Puerto Rico. So I was like, I needed to do a better job about like looking for my culture. And so I actually read The Worst Best Man by Mia Sosa.
That actually has
a Brazilian flavor. So it's a Brazilian family, food, culture, Brazilian whole works, and it's really good. Adriana Herrera has a lot of Afro-Caribbean, Latino influence. So, and there's one character that reflects my experience. I was like so excited to have that. So, and she writes male romance, but the fourth book is going to be male female romance. So, if you look for that. So, and I would say Alexis Daria, she has the Dancing with the Stars series where the characters are Latina, the dancers are Latina, and then the men are like white. One of them is from Alaska. Yeah, one of them is from Alaska. And I have to admit, I love books from set in Alaska. So Alaska books.
You like The Simple Wild. The Simple Wild is totally a gem.
The Simple Wild, I would say Alaskan Christmas. Like, there's like Alaska this, Alaska that. I'm like, life or lie. Like all Alaskan books. I'm like, you give me Alaska. I'm like, okay, I'm going to read this. Yeah. And here's the thing. I had no interest in going to Alaska. But just I find just reading it feels like... It just feels like fun. It's like the wilderness, like the the fishing, the stuff. So but I did read Aisha last, and it was so good. That book was not only Muslim and stuff. It was set in Canada, and you got a different feel, a different vibe.
Yeah, so, oh, for sure. Yes.
So that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So what are some of your most anticipated new releases for 2020?
Oh my gosh. So I love Scarlett Peckham, and she has two books coming out this year, which is so, so exciting. Mm-hmm. One of them just came out, or it's just about to come out this week or next week. And that's The Lord I Left. And it's the third book in her Charlotte Street series. The first book was The Duke I Tempted, which is amazing. Second book, The Earl I Ruined, which is even more amazing. And I just read an advanced copy of The Lord I Left, and it is so good. And I think what I like about her is that she writes like really controversially romance. So it's not for everyone, but I think it's worth checking out. Like, she really pushes you and challenges you to be like, okay, do I like this or do I not like this? Mm-hmm. Also, Sonali Dev has a book coming out, which is like the sequel to Pride, Prejudice, and Other Flavors. And the book is called Recipe for Persuasion. And I'm fingers crossed thinking it probably is based on Persuasion by Jane Austen, just like the Pride, Prejudice, and Other Flavors was based on Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. So I'm really, really excited for that. Catherine Center writes women's fiction slash romance a little bit these days. And I love her, love her. And she has a book called What You Wish For that is coming out, I think, in June or July. And the last set of books I'm waiting for is by Alexandria House. And she's the person I mentioned who writes urban romance that I really love. But then the thing is, I don't like to start reading series when all the books don't have to be out, but at least a few of them do. Because I hate to read one book and then I'm like waiting forever for the next book. So I'm like, where is the next one? I need it now. So I'm waiting for her to like do a few before I start that. So I think she's finishing that series actually this year, Alexandria House. It's called the Them Boys series. Mm-hmm. I think she's finishing it this year. So I'm going to hop on that, and I'm excited about that. So what about you? What's your most anticipated?
So I just read Island of Her, Priscilla Olivares. That comes out in April, and that's a closer romance, which I just have to preface it. And it's set in the Keys. It's a Cuban family and a family from Arizona. It's a fake relationship. It's really good. You feel like you're in the Keys. You feel like you're like in that place, and he's a firefighter, and it's really good. And then I have You Had Me at Ola by Alexis Daria. That book comes out in June, and I'm eagerly awaiting for an arc. I'm like, please give me the arc. It's a telenovela. So if you love Latin culture, people watch soap operas like telenovelas. It's set in the telenovela setting. It's set to be enemies to lovers, if I remember correctly, with the telenovela setting. So I'm like, I can't be it. Absolutely. I grew up with telenovela. So that would be like one of my books. So I'm eagerly awaiting for the book. Is this Scarlett Peckham on Road the Rakes?
Yes, she's also doing the Rakes. Yes, that's coming out like in April. Yeah,
I requested, so I'm waiting. I'm eagerly awaiting to see if I get an arc for that one because it looks so good. So,
yeah, I'm excited about the Rakes too.
That's awesome. So, which your books have you read in the past few months that you recommend?
Well, I already mentioned Pride, Prejudice, and Other Flavors, and I can't stop talking about that book. I love it so much. And Aisha at Last, I've mentioned that as well. I've been on like a Beverly Jenkins binge, and Beverly Jenkins writes American historical romance, but she writes about Black people in American historical romance, like usually Civil War era or like immediately post-Civil War era. And she does it in such a way that she tells such uncommon histories of America and things that you haven't necessarily heard of from American history, but like from people who are like minorities in America. So Black people, Native American history, early Hispanic history in America. And so it's really interesting, but it's romance. And she finds a way to like make it interesting and still very romantic and very much about the love story and the characters, but then also about the history too. And you learn something, but then it's interesting and just really emotional and really touching. And she's just amazing. And I started her backlist from like the books she wrote in like 1995. And I'm reading them like in 2020, like, and 25 years later, these books like stand up and they're still so feminist and still so appropriate. And I'm just like, she's everything. Beverly Jenkins, just everything she's written. Most people like Indigo best, but I'm just, every single thing I read, I love. So her she's probably been my favorite of the past few months. And then I read a couple of books that are not romance that I think are also really good. My Soul to Keep by Tanana Rivedue, and Indian Horse by Richard Wagam Messe. My Soul to Keep is like horror, but like domestic fiction horror. So that was nice. And Indian Horse is kind of very sad, but I think it's like a really important book. And I read it like 3-4 months ago. And I think of it at least 2-3 times a week. Like, oh my gosh, that book. Yeah. So that one. What about you? What are you recommending from the past few months? Like, what's like on your mind still
after reading? So I'm reading right now, I'm reading Undercover Romance, and I feel like Romance Book Club and Undercover Romance are really good books to read. They're, if you like if you're a fan of the genre of romance, like, these are really interesting books that they present men reading romance and just enjoying the process and seeing and learning using it as a manual. So I really love that. I read The Happy Ever After playlist, and it's actually really good. It's surprisingly, it's a rockstar romance that he does everything that a rockstar would do, but the reasons why he does it is so different. So that makes it unique. So that whole process. And then I've been reading the backlist for Lisa Kleypas.
Okay.
And it's so good.
She's so good.
Have
you
gotten
to the Ravenels yet? And Ravenels, are you excited about the Ravenels book coming? I think it's Chasing
Cassandra. I just read it this past weekend. So good. Okay.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, it's, I thought, you know, the reviews I saw that they wouldn't chuck neck for most of the book, and it didn't feel like it. It felt like they connected throughout the book, like they like each other, but they were like, the family was like, you're not supposed to go with him, like, he's not the right one. But it just reflected what I love about it. It reflected modern themes like Me Too, sexual harassment, into historical setting. Like, there's events that happen, and you just like realize, like, you know, we're in 2020 and it's still happening. So it's really good.
I'm so much more excited for it now, because I've been waiting for his book, Tom's book, since. And I'm just like, I'm so happy.
And Tom is like such a lovable character.
Yeah.
Like, he's so smart. He's like so lovable. Like, he's like, I have a frozen heart. I only have 5 feelings. And I'm like, oh my God.
I love people like that.
I love when you're
like, I'm so excited. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you only have like 5 feelings. And you're like, oh. Okay. And Cassandra's like such a sparkly, like vivacious, like, you know, like really good person. Like, it was funny enough, like, she was struggling with her weight, but it was not her who's struggling. It was everyone else struggling with her weight.
Yeah.
And it was like it's such a common theme. Like, you know, you think about it, like the diet culture, like, you're supposed to be losing weight. And she's like, you know, and Tom was like, I like you just like you are. And it was like, so really good. So
I'm so excited for it. That's so cool. Pumped right now. Okay, cool.
Chasing Cassandra is a must read. So,
actually, some of the things you said, I'm like actually on my to be read list. You mentioned the Undercover Bromance, and I still have, like, very high on my list is the Bromance Book Club, and I have the book, I just haven't read it. Same thing you mentioned, Happily Ever After playlist, Friend Zone, high up again, have the book, just haven't read it. And so I'm really excited when you're saying that you really enjoyed these books recently. I'm like, oh my god, and that means I have something to look forward to. That's really
cool. So the Friend Zone is heavy, it's good, it's sarcastic, it's witty, but it's a heavy subject matter, so just be prepared. The Happy Hour After playlist deals with events that happen in the Friend Zone, but it's I found it lighter. Like, I liked the front zone, but I love the Happier Octopus. Like, you kind of, like, you build up, and you at the end of the front zone, you're like, oh, okay, I need to know what happens next. Happier playlist is much better. The Bromance Book Club is just so, so, so good. Like, I
admit, everybody like, said so. Everyone. So I'm like, it's like really high. Like, after I read the I have to have this book. I got it. And I don't know. You know, you're a romance reader. Yeah. You buy these books and you're just like, don't read them. They're just there looking at you on your to be read list. So you have them, but not reading them. So annoying.
Yeah, I know. I struggle. I thought I really did not want to read it until I kept hearing it's like, it's really good. It's really good. Mm-hmm. It was like, I had an arc and I was like, oh, let me just read it one day. And I was like, so surprised. Like, it just, it deals with like real topics. Like, actually, Starbucks has a drink called pumpkin spice latte and only happens in the fall. And I'm obsessed with pumpkin spice latte. Like, obsessed. Like, I was sad that Starbucks removed it in December. Like, usually they keep it until January, and I was like, what is going on? Like, I have one less month to have it. And they have a whole conversation about it, about the perception of like having a man drink a sweet drink, you know, like he's like, yeah, I'm not supposed to, and they're like, I really like this. So just like, it's timely topics about toxic masculinity,
yeah,
about the Me Too era, like all these different things that are in the repressive moment, and they're just a conversation. So it's just so good. So what other books are your TBR?
I'm really excited to read The Boyfriend Project by Farah Roshan.
Me too.
Talia Hibbert's entire backlist. I've had her. I wanted to read her for like years. And then last year I started to read her and I'm like, oh my God, I have to read everything from Talia Hibbert. She's really, 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 really good at normalizing very important conversations that we need to have about like Me Too, about like body autonomy, about like consent, and still making it sexy and making it look normal, like not making it look awkward. So she does a really good job at that. So I really want to read everything she's written, and she has all sorts of things that she's done. So I'm really into that. For this year and for like the next maybe quarter or so. There's like a Ghanaian romance writer called M.P. Barrier. I really want to read her. I have a book by her that I don't remember what it's called, but I'm excited to read that. They're outside of romance, The Silent Patient. My friend Amanda, who's escaping a book on Instagram, she was reading this book and live reacting to it. And I was like, oh my God, I have to have this book. And I'm a scaredy cat, so I don't know exactly why I'm trying to read a thriller, but she sold it to me. And that's kind of one of the things I love about like the bookish community online, whether that's through podcasts or BookTube or Book Twitter or Bookstagram, and just how like you just get recommendations so many times and all the time, and you're just like, oh my God, I need to read so many different things. And it's exciting and overwhelming, and it's like the most supportive and beautiful community. So yeah, so those are the things for my TBR. And yeah, what about you? What's up? What are you planning on?
So I started The Silent Patient. I did not finish. I have to admit, I put it down. No. I was reading a lot of thrillers, and then I was like, okay, I'm done with thrillers. I may pick it up again. But it's not that scary. So just in a fry. It's not that.
Okay.
It's not, there's no like crazy murmurs like following you and stuff.
The killer is not going to be after me, my sleep.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I agree with you about reading Talia Hibbert's entire backlist. First of all, I did not know that she's 24, which I feel is amazing.
She is not 24. Are you kidding me?
Yes. I saw it on Instagram. She posted, she's like, I just turned 24. And I was like,
no way.
I was like, you're amazing. And like, you're a genius. So I believe she is 24. I think so.
Wow.
But I have to admit, like her, I read A Girl Like Her, I think A Girl Like Her, and it was so good. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I need to read the next books in the series. But I got caught up with Shiny Object Series. So, but she's coming to the podcast this summer.
Oh, is she? That's so cool.
Yeah, I was like, I wanted to come for Get a Life program, but it just didn't work out. So I worked with a publicist and I was like, can she come for the next book? She's like, yes. And I was like, even better. So I'm excited for Talia. Reading her backlist will be so exciting.
Oh gosh, I'm excited for that episode. That's going to be so cool.
Yeah. And then just pretty much, you know, whatever new author that pops in that just want to read her backlist, if she has, if she or he has a series, I want to just dive into a series. Like, you know, one of those like 20 books long series where you're just like, you're just in it and you're kind of like not seeing the world out there. That's probably what I'm looking forward this year.
I love that you love that, because my brother is also a romance reader, but he hates series. He's like, why are they bringing in this person's random neighbor? I'm like, because the neighbor is kind of their friend. Like, why wouldn't they bring the neighbor in? Like, he's like, why are they bringing... He doesn't get serious. He's like, well, I don't see the point. Like, they've done the main person. They've done the main person's brother. They've done the sister. They've done the mom. They've done the friend. Like, so, okay, that's fine. I'm like, no, it's not fine. It's not fine. They do the entire office. They do the entire town. Give me 30 books in the series. So I feel you completely.
Yeah. I'm all of the series. I think Virgin River, which is a Netflix show, has 20 books in the series. And a friend of mine was like, it's 20 books. And I was like, I should try to read that. It depends. Because like, I like a series to have steam, to have happily ever after, and not to have a lot of conflict, like stupid conflict, like miscommunication, you know, like little things that are just stupid. And I'm like, I don't want that. So there's a certain formula that I'm looking for. So, and if it has suspense, that's great. If it has some action, you know, has some romance, it's all good. But yeah, series are all the way.
Yeah, definitely. I don't like the kind of conflict that is like, you know, if you just had like a 10-second conversation, this is over. Like, why can't you have the 10-second conversation?
I know. Those are stupid. I'm like, no, like, really? I'm like, I'm just throwing the book to in my room. Like, I don't want to read this anymore. Yeah. Awesome. So tell us where we can find you online.
I am online at Now Booking. That's at now_booking. And mostly on Instagram, but I'm also on Twitter, also as now_booking. That's all.
Thank you. And thank you for being on the show. I absolutely adore your recommendations.
Oh, yay. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be on the show. This is my first podcast I've ever been on. So thanks for having me, Laura.
This was so much fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends and share a review on iTunes. This is the best way to support the show. Once you join the Romance Loving community, make new friends, and get book recommendations, join our Patreon Romance Book Club. For $5 a month, you'll be part of a virtual book club, an Instagram chat, and get monthly book recommendations. Please note I'll be donating 10% of the profit to a COVID-19 relief fund each month. To sign up, just join the link in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in a few days with a brand new episode. Have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadingblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship package for you. Thank you once for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.